Well, we have had the privilege of working the book of Acts this summer, and I know it's moving into the fall season, so we still have a number of chapters to go. So we're going to finish this in the next couple of months. And we did chapter, 19 last week, and we only went halfway. And so let's do a little bit of a review here. And you know what amazes me as we've been looking at the book of Acts and all the different things that God had recorded in His Word for us to learn and experience all the different activities that these wonderful believers went through to move God's word, it's a beautiful thing. And we're certainly seeing a lot of signs, wonders, and miracles as the believers stand faithful. Definitely some great challenges are going on, but through it all, as the song goes, we can trust in Jesus and our Heavenly Father. So in chapter 19, we saw that Paul goes back to Ephesus, and Apollos was there in chapter 18, and he led some people into the baptism of John. Because it says that he only knew the baptism of John in 18:24. So as Paul went into Ephesus, went back there, he asked the question. He said, "Have you received the Holy Spirit since you believed?" And they said unto him, "We have not so much as heard whether there be any Holy Spirit." Well, the reason for that is they were not baptized in the Holy Spirit in light of Paulus only knowing the baptism of John, which is water baptism. So Paul had the opportunity and privilege to minister to them, and they were baptized with the Holy Spirit. Verse 5 of chapter 19. And when they heard this, they were baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus. And when Paul had laid his hands upon them, the Holy Spirit came upon them, and they spoke in tongues and prophesied. So here was the great evidence of the reality of Holy Spirit being in a believer, that they operated the manifestations. And the one in particular that God so designed to be the evidence of the new birth in a born-again believer is speaking in tongues. That happened on the day of Pentecost when the church began. They spoke in tongues. And remember, when the first Gentiles were born again, they weren't going to believe just the word of those Gentiles, but they did believe when they saw them speak in tongues. So here, Paul ministers to them, and there were how many? About 12 men, as the word says in chapter 7. So Paul goes on, he goes to the synagogue for, I think it says, 3 months, and then he goes to the school of Tyrannus. And in verse 10, and this continued by the space of 2 years, so that all they which dwell in Asia heard the word of the Lord Jesus, both Jews and Greeks. So in that span of 2 years and 3 months, the word of God moved out in a very dynamic way, phenomenal way. And guess what happened in light of the word moving out in such a dynamic way? Well, the next verse 11 says, "And God wrought special miracles by the hands of Paul." And it was then that they were able to take napkins that he had or aprons that he wore and put it upon people that were in having physical ailments, and they were delivered. They were healed evil spirits went out of them. So the believing must have went sky high by those believers. Phenomenal. And it's because the Word of God reached out into the heart of many, many people during that time. There's the episode of where this Jew, Sceva, the sons, there were seven sons of Sceva, a Jew, and the chief of priests, and they had an issue with evil spirits there that they were able to deal with and deliver as well. So some fantastic things happened. And many believed, it says in verse 18. And many that believed came and confessed and showed their deeds. Many of them also, which used curious arts, brought their books together. Now these curious arts were devil spirit books. They were Ouija boards. They were dark events by people that work for the devil spirits and Satan. And they took these books and they burned them. They got rid of them because they had something much, much bigger. Well, when they burned them up, they figured out the price, as it's recorded in the scriptures, was found to be 50,000 pieces of silver. How much did we figure that was?
It was like 40 million.
It was millions of dollars. It was a lot of money. And what happened after they got rid of the junk that held them back?
So mightily grew
the word of God and prevailed. That's what we want to see in our lives. As born-again believers, we want the word of God to really move in a wonderful, dynamic way. And when we get rid of the junk, the negative things that hold us back from the Word, then we can freely move ahead and believe God's Word in a wonderful way. So let's start here, verse 21. And after these things were ended, Paul purposed in the Spirit, when he had passed through Macedonia and Achaia, to go to Jerusalem, saying, after I have been there, I must also see Rome. Verse 22, and he sent into Macedonia two of them that ministered unto him, Timotheus and Erastus. But he himself stayed in Asia for a season. And at the same time, there arose no small stir about that way. Now that's a figure of speech. No small stir means there was a big stir. People were got real excited. This whole new way of thinking and believing, and who was this Jesus Christ that the name was seeing great deliverance in the lives of so many people. And so they got all stirred up. For a certain man named Demetrius, this is verse 24, a silversmith which made silver shrines for Diana, brought no small gain unto the craftsmen. Well, no small gain means
a lot of gain.
A lot of gain. They brought in a lot of money. Here, these guys made the shrines that Ephesus was so famous, and that was Diana. And she was a goddess, an idol that was, they made her. And if you've seen pictures of her, she had all kinds of breasts all around her. And pretty wild. And so these guys made these idols and made a lot of money from it. But when Paul was teaching the truth of God's word, then people weren't interested in Diana of the Ephesians. So he was a little concerned that he was going to lose his business. Well, what he did, he called a union meeting together. Verse 25, whom he called together with the workmen of like occupation and said, sirs, you know that by this craft we have our wealth. Moreover, you see and hear that not alone in Ephesus, but almost throughout all Asia, this Paul hath persuaded and turned away much people, saying that there be no gods which are made with hands. And that's the truth. See, the word of God was reaching out around all of Asia, right? 2 years and 3 months. Phenomenal movement of the word. People were believing it. And they were changing the way of their thinking, their believing, what they did. And this affected old Demetrius and his other fellow silversmiths, that they were losing a lot of business. And he went to them, his fellow workers, and said, hey, listen, you know, not only are we losing business here, but hey, they're affronting us of this wonderful goddess of Diana. You know, they're appealing to their emotions. So in verse 27, so that not only this, our craft is in danger to be set at naught, but also that the temple of the great goddess Diana should be despised, and her magnificence should be destroyed, whom all Asia and the world worshipeth. Boy, what a speech, huh? You know, we're in an election time, and we hear all kinds of speeches, don't we? A lot of promises, a lot of things said. Well, boy, old Demetrius, I'm sure he was quite a speaker, and he was appealing to their emotions, not only financial gain, but the respect of how Ephesus was known around the world as the home of this famous Diana of the Ephesians. Well, verse 28, and when they heard these things, they were full of wrath, and cried out, saying, great is Diana of the Ephesians. Boy, they really, Demetrius really got to the people, didn't he? They got all excited, and they just started yelling out, great is Diana of the Ephesians. Verse 29, and the whole city was filled with confusion. And having caught Gaius and Aristarchus, men of Macedonia, Paul's companions in travel, they rushed with one accord into the theater. This was a public place where people would go to settle matters. And so there was a large gathering there, obviously. And so all of this was going on. And they grabbed these guys that traveled with Paul. And when Paul, verse 30, would have entered into unto the people, the disciples suffered him not, allowed him not to go. You know, don't go, Paul. And certain of the chief of Asia, which were his friends, sent unto him, desiring him that he would not adventure himself into the theater, that he would put himself in danger by getting in the middle of these wild crowd. Well, verse 32, some therefore cried one thing and some another, for the assembly was confused, and the more part knew not wherefore they were come together. Now, isn't it so typical when somebody gets up on their soapbox and starts preaching and yelling and on a certain cause, and many people hear what's going on, and they come and they check it out. They don't know what's going on, but they get all excited. They see everybody yelling and talking, so they get involved, and it gets to be very interesting. I can tell you a story here where this kind of thing happened to our ministry several years ago, actually. The facility that we use for Sunday Fellowship, and we've been using that facility for many, many years, there was a point where the club was, the members were not interested. They were very few of the people being involved. And so our ministry, the people in our ministry, the women especially, got involved in running the facility and being actively involved in upgrading things and stuff like that. And all of a sudden, the local community, a couple of people got uptight and thought we were going to take over this thing, and we were some cult and some group that was going to steal away this club and facility that's been around there for 100 years. So a lot of people, because I live in the community, and I heard all kinds of things about my neighbors talking about this church was trying to take over the facility and they're not going to let anybody else use it, and getting all excited and emotional and saying things that were not true. So I know what probably went on here. This obviously was a bigger situation than that. But isn't it typical how people respond? Somebody gets excited and starts talking, and people follow along, and they don't know why they're there in the first place other than something's going on, and they want to follow along and see what's happening. Well, that's certainly what happened here in Acts chapter 19, verse 32, where some cried one thing and some another. For the assembly was confused, and the more part knew not wherefore they were come together. And they drew Alexander out of the multitude. Verse 33, the Jews putting him forward, and Alexander beckoning with the hand, and would have made his defense unto the people. But when they knew that he was a Jew, all with one voice, about the space of 2 hours, cried out, "Great is Diana of the Ephesians." Can you imagine people yelling that for 2 hours? You know, we see these great athletic events where people yell out different things at the sports events that are going on, and after a minute or two they move on. But for 2 hours they were just fanatic, crying out, "Great is Diana of the Ephesians." Well, verse 35, and when the town clerks had appeased the people, finally somebody of authority settled everybody down, and he said, "You men of Ephesus, what man is there that knoweth not how that the city of Ephesus is a worshiper of the great goddess Diana, and of the image which fell down from Jupiter?" Wow. "Seeing then that these things cannot be spoken against, you ought to be quiet and to do nothing rashly." In some ways, he had some common sense about him, but obviously the reason behind it was not very solid. Verse 37, "For you have brought hither these men, which are neither robbers of churches, nor yet blasphemers of your goddess. Wherefore, if Demetrius and the craftsmen which are with them have a matter against any man, the law is open, and there are deputies. Let them implead one another." And this word in "implead one another," in the King James I'm reading to you, it's to bring a third party in to a legal situation, maybe an attorney or something like that, an expert. Verse 39, "But if you inquire anything concerning other matters, it shall be determined in a lawful assembly. For we are in danger to be called in question for this day's uproar, there being no cause whereby we may give an account of this concourse. And when he had thus spoken, he dismissed the assembly. So thankfully, somebody spoke up and kind of calmed things down and had a little more common sense to the situation. But isn't it amazing how people respond, how people act, especially when it comes to spiritual matters? And certainly we see this in this wonderful chapter here, the latter part of chapter 19. Well, next few verses, chapter 20, and after the uproar was ceased, Paul called unto the disciples and embraced them and departed for to go to Macedonia, which is in Greece, And when he had gone over there, those parts, and had given them much exhortation, he came into Greece, and there abode 3 months. And when the Jews laid wait for him, as he was about to sail into Syria, he purposed to return through Macedonia. So we'll pick this up next Wednesday, chapter 20, but certainly some interesting things went on in this chapter 19, and I think it's wonderful how God has put these different events in his word for us to learn from. And aren't we blessed and thankful that we can know the truth, that we can know what God's word says, and that we can believe the word of God? You know, there's so many idols out there, so many different ways that people want to believe. But thankfully, God Almighty made it very clear and simple for people, if they have a humble heart to hear, that the way, the truth, and the life to get to the Heavenly Father is through the Lord Jesus Christ. So, well, wonderful to share this with you tonight. And I think we'll have manifestations here. So let me close out the teaching, and we'll do some manifestations.